Welcome to the Team Building Show for Canadians, the podcast where we build the future, starting today. High-level conversations, real estate strategies, tips and experiences from the top team leaders on real estate in Canada. We don't dream about success. We build it together. Starting now, the Team Building Show for Canadians.
Welcome to another show, Anna.
Welcome back. Very excited to be with you today.
Awesome. So today we are going to dive deeper on team roles, team responsibilities, how all that whole world looks, and what we've seen work in that department, what we've seen fail, things I've failed on, we failed on, and should be an interesting conversation. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think this is something that comes up a lot in our world and in other people's world. So hopefully we can provide some insight that gives you some actionable items or at least advice on how to get started, as whether you're building your team or you already have a team, but just some suggestions that we've seen.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with just teamwork in general and like why having a team is important and the goal around building a team.
Probably spend the whole show on that one, because I think there's lots of people that want to start a team. There's lots of people that have no idea why they want to start a team. This is interesting. I think about this a lot. We've dealt with a lot of investors over the years, right? They come to us about investing in real estate and we talk about what the reason is behind it. And most people that I see having those conversations, those that are investor consultations, just they're not diving deep enough to understand why they're doing it. They're just doing it because their friend did it, or you know, their neighbor did it, and they think, well, I should buy a property too. But they're doing it with no real intent, no purpose around it, which leads to ultimately results they don't really want. And then inevitably they end up having to reconfigure everything down the road, which is sometimes almost impossible to avoid because you learn as you grow and you maybe don't necessarily know everything you want up front. But a lot of people don't spend enough time on that in this instance as well, I find, is they just want to build a team because that's the thing to do in real estate right now, right? If you're not big on the team, then you're almost looked down on in real estate in a lot of cases right now. Right or wrong, that seems to be the trend. And so people build a team because a little bit out of ego or out of, you know, just wanting to keep up with the Joneses. So I think, first of all, building a team is not necessarily right for everybody. Mm-hmm. It drastically changes your approach to this business and your lifestyle and all sorts of things. And then from there, you know, doing it in the right way or doing it in a way that makes sense for you. We know there's definitely some great models to follow. I talk about this all the time. We'll go through like on the importance of following a model, at least at the start, have a foundation of, you know, a plan there that's worked before, has proven track record. And yet everyone's business is going to look different. So there is inevitably a little bit of customization or a little bit of uniqueness to everyone's plan, because it has to fit your life and your goals and everything you want. Nobody has the same goals in life. Like if they do, then they probably haven't thought about it deep enough, because everyone's got specific family stuff and unique things that are unique to them. That's where I want to start with that, because that is something people just do not spend nearly enough time on. That's not like a 5-minute conversation with yourself. That's like something you should probably spend a lot of time thinking about. And
yes, we talked starting about there. Yeah, we talked about this on the last episode too, how important it is to start with yourself and defining who you are and who you want to become.
You do that without going through that process, you're going to end up with probably the wrong person. You might not realize it on day one, day 90, you will realize it eventually, because eventually you're going to realize what you want, and the odds of getting lucky and having the right person to help with that is pretty slim.
Yeah, for sure. So you got to define your role first. Like, who are you? What do? Who do you serve? What do you stand for? And then from there, start thinking about who else you need to bring into your world.
Exactly. I like to start with, you know, doing that is the NVVBP, right? We talked about that. I think we talked about that last episode probably too, is just their mission, vision, values, beliefs, and perspective, and writing that out, having that on paper. From there, you can write your organizational model currently, which might be just you, if you're starting with just yourself, and you're the agent, you're the lead, everything, you do everything in the business. And so you're just you, but that's just today. What does it look like for the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? And you can take that as long and as far out as you want, but, and it's not going to look exactly like you laid out today, almost guaranteed. However, you can at least now have a path for people to come into and see where they want to grow on it. We were talking about that before the show a little bit. And what I am very aware of these days, and something that I see a lot of people, not necessarily screwing up always, they're just, I think a little bit, they just haven't thought through it enough to get clear about it for themselves, but they don't start people at the bottom of that org chart. They just put them right at the top. Mm-hmm. And sure, if you're the only person there, you're the CEO, you're the director of operations, you're the marketing manager, the marketing coordinator, you're the listing coordinator, you're everything. But when you hire someone, they don't have to go right to the top. They shouldn't go right to the top, because that just makes everything so much harder, because you can't now replace them with anyone because they're already at the top. You can't, like, it's very hard to show them a path to more success and more exciting achievement or titles down the road. You know, the compensation structure is challenging to work through if they're starting out as whatever title you want to say. And we were talking about before the show, most people that I see do this are starting out hiring their director of operations on day one versus hiring a assistant, lead, not even lead admin, just administrator, assistant, whatever sort of title you want to put on it. That's who you're hiring on day one. You're not hiring your director of operations. Mm-hmm. They're not a director yet.
Yeah. You're thinking about making that first hire. You're not going to start that person at the top. You have to define who you are first before you make that hire. So now you've brought them into your organization. How do you set the roles and responsibilities for that person or anyone that you're bringing in within your business?
This definitely brings it back to following a model and starting out with a model or a system around this. One of the reasons that, you know, real estate's great. People are very collaborative in general across the industry. And so there's lots of people that have already done this. You do not need to start this from scratch. You probably are going to throw your own customization around it, but you don't need to go start with a blank page and start writing out what those roles are going to look like. Much easier to go ask someone who's done this before, like probably you or I would be a great resource if people are looking for that, and start with probably a whole done for you system. And now you're just like tweaking some pieces there and putting your own unique vision around it. That's the first thing, is you don't need to recreate that. But when you are, if you were recreating that, or you wanted to start from scratch there, then I would suggest starting with what you want out of that role. Like, what are the actual outcomes you want? And then scaling that back to, this is how I think of it. What's the outcomes I want? And then how do I now reverse engineer that back to like the daily activities and what this person's actually going to be doing day to day in order to achieve that outcome? Mm-hmm. Because what I think a lot of people do is they don't think about the outcomes as much. And so they think about, okay, they need to put up my listings. Okay, but well, what's the goal with putting up your listings? Is it to just put up the listing and that's it? Or is it to like put it up there so that you attract two pieces of business from every listing you put out there on the market, right? Mm-hmm. So that knowing the outcome that you want creates different action items, and it creates more clarity around what that listing is going to look like. It's not just list it for the sake of listing it. Right.
Yeah.
And obviously that you want to sell the house is probably the first and foremost, but you also want to do it in a way that you are attracting more business.
Yeah. One thing to, if we can take one step back too, and one thing I wanted to mention is when you're thinking about what that next hire might look like, a really great exercise to go through is write out everything that you do towards your business on a daily basis, weekly basis. And then start thinking about what can be leveraged, what can be scaled, what can be systematized to put into a role. And there's going to be so many different types of tasks and jobs that you're doing, but at the end of the day, some might align more with others. So then you can start thinking about, okay, well, you know, I want to get all of this marketing, social media stuff off my plate. Maybe that's your next hire. And then you can start creating a job around that. And now you have the responsibilities because you've been doing that for your business.
That's a good point. I was jumping ahead a bit. I like the bigger picture of stuff.
Okay. I like the bigger picture.
Well, you're definitely a little more operationally inclined than I am. So I think that that's a great point. And you should identify what you need through that. It's a great tip. And I mean, through that, you're going to identify what role you really need right now. And put in a missing persons report. That's what I was getting at. Through all that, you can now use that missing persons report, which I love, and I haven't utilized enough over my time, if I'm honest, to really come get clear on who you actually want.
Yeah, like
what is explain what that missing persons report is?
Yeah, so the missing person report is essentially creating that ideal avatar for the role that you're looking for in that moment. So what kind of attributes, what kind of habits, attitudes, skills does that person have? And then it also ties it in with the personality assessment. So if you're familiar with the DISC, D-I-S-C, what that person might look like on a DISC assessment. And at the end of the day, like you're creating this not to replace yourself, but to create a leverage so that you can continue to focus on the most highest and best use of your time. So if your dollar per hour is $100, $200 per hour based on your annual income, but you're doing $10, $20 an hour activities, then you should really look for that leverage and starting to replace or leverage the pieces in your business that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing.
A lot of times you're looking for complementary pieces, right? Not necessarily... In some ways, it's a replacement, but it's more of a who can I find that'll do this better than me? Because that's not my either. That's not what I'm good at, or that's not what I want to be doing every day. It's not my highest and best use of time.
Mm-hmm. And I think actually our next episode is all about leaving ego at the door. But this is where you do have to leave your ego at the door. You can't think, "Oh, I'm the only one that can do this. I'm the one that can do it the best," because likely that's probably not true.
That's a common one, right? That's like as common as anything we hear when people that are thinking about building a team, or they've started, or they've made a hire and it hasn't worked out as well as they thought. You know, often part of the reason is that they're expecting that person to do it as good as they are, or they're disappointed when they don't do it as good as they, in their mind, as good as they've done it in the past. Which, I mean, even after someone doing something for a while, it's hard to necessarily do it at the same in the same way. They might have their own unique way of doing it, but in my opinion, that, you know, usually if they're doing a 70-80% as good or in the same way that you would, then well worth the leverage. Depending on what that is, most people, if you make the right hire, they're going to do it 120% as good as you do.
Yeah. And that's when you look for the person with the attributes and skills, like you mentioned, someone complementary. So if you're a more driven, direct kind of person, you might want someone that is more detail oriented, that takes care more of like the operational side, especially if it's an operation hire. Or even on the agent side, when you're looking at hiring agents, what are the attributes that you don't have? What are the weak points in your own personality that you can hire towards so that you create a strength within your team?
So let's talk about the operations side a bit deeper, because that is typically probably what people should consider hiring first, not actually the typical first hire. From what I've seen, it's not the first hire. At best 50-50. But why is it important that someone hires that person, a person on the operations side, prior to hiring one agent, five agents? Why is that so important?
Well, you and I have so many conversations about this with the agents in our world and like the partners that we have in our world. But if you think about it from a grand scheme and like the longer term outcome of what you're building, if your intention is to grow a business and a team and serve other agents in your organization that have their own goals, have their own visions for what they want to achieve, when you don't hire administrative operational talent first, it's going to be very, very hard to retain those people in your world. When people tend to join a team, they think leads and leverage. Those are typically the two most important things that they want. But I would say the most important thing is the leverage. What is going to get the partners in your world, including yourself, into the business building activities? And if we don't know the five roles of a realtor, it's lead generation, lead follow-up, going on appointments, negotiating contracts, and scripting and role-playing. If you can just keep everyone in your organization, including yourself, in those five buckets, you can grow so fast and you can grow so big. But that's the common mistake, is people will hire agents first, can't provide them value, can't provide them leverage. They might give them leads, but then there's no back-end system to support the business that they do. So at the end of the day, an agent can walk up and say, hey, like, I can probably just do this myself. I can now generate my own leads. I'm not really getting any other value, and I can grow on my own. And we see that very, very often.
I think you used the word in there that probably identifies the number one, in my opinion, the number one reason why teams fail, or people fail at building teams. I'm trying to determine if this is the number one. Nobody's really asked me this before, recently, at least, but I'm pretty sure this is the number one reason why teams do not succeed and why people leave teams. It is the foundational mindset of the leader that says, I'm either serving them or they're serving me. And they're not approaching it from the mindset of I'm serving them.
Yeah,
I'm serving the people that I hire. They're approaching it from the mindset of I'm hiring these people to serve me in my business. And that's why I'm hiring them. Mm-hmm. That is a recipe for a lot of turnover, a lot of struggles, a lot of frustrations, constantly beating yourself up for not having the best people around and not attracting the best people. That is the foundation thing, that such a small percentage of people actually, even if they hear this, they don't actually act on this. They don't show up the next day and act in this manner. It's actually kind of common sense when you think about it. Why would anybody, if you're listening to this, why would you join any team to serve that team? Like, especially agents, right? Especially an entrepreneurial type of mindset. You're not, that goes so against an any sort of entrepreneurial mindset to go join something to serve them. That is exactly why people become entrepreneurial and salespeople, because they want to have a little more control over their life and their opportunities.
Yeah, like,
so
that's what we hear a lot. Big miss for people. They don't want a boss, or they don't want someone to run their life. But in effect, that is what ends up happening when teams don't set themselves up in a business format with operational leverage to serve the people in their business.
When you're hiring an agent first, that's enough, it's telling me right away, instantly, that you are not coming from the foundation of I'm here to serve them. Because it's almost impossible to have someone come in, a buyer's agent come into a team and actually feel served when there's no operational support. That is extremely challenging. Unless you're a team leader who is just extremely operationally sound and that's a strength of yours, that's possible. But it's pretty unlikely. Most people, you need to develop that leverage first so that the agents you bring on can then benefit from that support that's there. And you know, you're probably the main salesperson. You hire your operational potential leader one day who's going to build that out for you. And now you have kind of the two complementary pieces there to build out your business and scale it from there.
I think the times that I've seen that work, where someone does hire an agent without having leverage, is with the leader having such a strong vision of where they want to go that it attracts people to them, and they're willing to wait for that leverage, or they're willing to build it alongside them. And that's still that mindset of I'm serving these people to build something bigger than just me. So that's when I see it working. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think most people, I did this too. So, I mean, I'm saying this from somewhat screwing it up at the beginning myself, was when you have agents that are attracted to you at the start for whatever reason, because you're doing a decent amount of business and you have something that they want. And so you inevitably, sometimes there's agents that come to you, or you come into a conversation and the topic comes up, maybe you should join our team and we should maybe work together. And maybe there's some value to exchange there, which maybe there is. But like, you have to ask yourself in that moment, is that really the logical next best thing? Like, just because it's convenient for people, what all you're doing when you get into a not a great partnership there at the beginning is that you're just setting yourself back farther in most cases, because now you're going to go and screw that up for a little bit. The agent's going to probably not receive the value that they're looking for. If you really think logically about it, you're an agent doing sales. You need to sell. You typically need to sell a lot at the beginning. Do you have the time to really mentor and coach that person to be a better salesperson when they're not getting anything else from anyone else? There's no other leverage there. So it's not like they can go to an assistant or someone else to help with the operations. So they're not getting any leverage. That's a lot to ask of yourself. And so you're probably going to let them down if you're really thinking realistic about it. Or you're going to really just add a lot of time to your plate. And that is not typically the right move for everyone. So you're setting yourself up for some challenges, and it's not really stemming from the right place. So if I were to say anything from this whole topic, is that foundational starting point is just so, so important and often overlooked. Done in the right way, you have that agent, that operations person, assistant, whatever you want to call them at the start. They continue to build out the operations side. Once you have one or two, you can absolutely hire lots of agents. Now you bring them onto a system that's done. That operations person will build a system for you. You don't have to do it. You can make the right hire.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't micromanage them. Nobody wants to be micromanaged. So if you let them build it and screw it up a little bit and do it 80% as good as you think you might, then they'll grow and get better. And then that's the starting point of everything. Then from there, everything, if you do that the right way, the foundation, you set that up, everything becomes so much easier. You actually have leverage yourself in doing it that way. Mm-hmm. Most people don't hire leverage. They hire another, what's another word for that? They don't hire leverage. They hire actually another like time suck in their life, because they're just hiring another thing they need to do all the time and person they need to talk with all the time when they're not setting that up to be a leverage point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And I think too, you're not serving your own business enough by immediately pivoting into a team route if you haven't done enough transactions yourself. So at what point?
What point is that then?
Well, I was going to say, and actually someone made a post on this yesterday and I really resonated with that. I think especially in the Toronto area, which is where we are, you should be doing about 20 to 30 transactions yourself with an admin before you ever choose to start hiring agents.
I think that's about right. I mean, everyone's slightly different and depends on where you're. If you're really, really financially sound, you have a good financial backing, you can hire more, you can hire faster, and you can feel confident in that, because if you lose money for a few months, that's maybe okay. If you come from a good business background and lots of experience in that, lots of leadership experience, I think that's definitely doable.
I think previous to that, like, people are probably going to be asking, like, when should I hire my first assistant? I would say ASAP. That would be my answer to that, as soon as possible, whether it's a virtual or in person.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a full-time in-house local person necessarily. There's ways to get leverage without having to pay whatever your full-time salary might cost locally. 20 to 30 makes sense. At 20 to 30, you're starting to get tapped out as a solo agent, right? You're starting to feel some pain probably of, in our area at least, with all the things you have to do. Every market's a bit different. The market demands certain expectations out of realtors that are different across the markets. Toronto's gonna be very different from, Northern Ontario.
Smaller
markets, very different. Yeah, very different. Toronto, I always laugh at this. Toronto has probably overall, if you looked at all the different teams and models out there, probably the worst models actually to follow in Toronto. Probably Vancouver is similar. The big markets always have, they still can profit really well. That's why they're able to get away with it, is because the price points. But there's far fewer well-run businesses, real businesses in these markets than there are in Eastern Canada, Fredericton, Moncton, Halifax, St. John's, because there's such a small price point, you need to add leverage in order to scale, and you need to do that in a business-like manner versus just, you know, hiring one or two people to help, and you still maybe net a few hundred grand, 500 grand in a market like Toronto. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. When you look around the country and across North America, that becomes really clear and kind of funny as you explore different models. So you have to build that out. You know, everyone's different. If you want to make 300 grand in Toronto and you can do that with just yourself, you don't even need to build a team. Like,
yeah. And that comes back to our conversation at the beginning. Like, it's not the right thing potentially for everyone to build a team. It definitely is where a lot of people are headed. And there's so many benefits of having a team, from creating leverage for yourself, helping other people and serving other people in your organization, and building other leaders. And obviously the money can be great too if you run the business like a business.
We went down a big rabbit hole there with roles and responsibilities, but I think and we might have skipped over it, so I was circling back to the responsibilities part. Eventually you're going to take a model from someone. It's probably going to have a 30 and a 60 or a 90 day sequence to it, is what we like to use at least. Here's what you're responsible for in your first 30 days, and then you go back and check in. Did we accomplish that? Yes. Okay. You graduate to your next 30 days. Once you're done the 60 day plan, okay, you graduate to 90. That's kind of the trial, right? You're kind of trialing it out, probation period, whatever you call it. Once you graduate from that, you know, now you're really you're confident, because they've, as a first hire admin assistant, at the end of those 90 days, you really should be looking for clear results that show that person is making the business more money from being there, because you have actual leverage and you're able to, as a salesperson, now go out and do more deals. So instead of spending 2 hours a day on admin type activities, you're spending those 2 hours on either generating more appointments or going on more appointments, which is going to result in more sales. And you don't really need to, for a nice round number, let's call someone a $50,000 salary, you don't need to
have that
10 more houses a month. Yeah, you don't need to have that in your account. You need a few months worth of that.
Yeah.
But you don't need all that in your account at once, because if it's not working and they're not showing clear signs that 50 grand and more is going to be coming back to you with that leverage over the first 3 months, then that's not the right hire. Or you haven't set them up for success and built out some of these things we're talking about to have them be able to achieve that. Because, you know, 50 grand over 3 months is what we're looking at, less than 15 grand. So we're into the 10 grand, 10, 12 grand. Am I doing my math right there? Let's call it.
Yeah.
13
eight
grand.
8 grand over 2 months.
So how many sales how many extra sales do you need to pay just to cover that at least? Now, I suggest you want to earn like 3-4 times that salary, but if you were to at least cover that, you only need one or two extra sales.
I mean, in Toronto, if you're at $1 million price point, you cover their salary for half the year with one sale.
Yeah. So if you can get one more sale, you know, out of that partnership, then you're doing well. And then that'll only scale from there if you have the right person and it's the right partnership, right? So that's the way we look at it from a hiring standpoint is you don't need all that money in the bank. And you should start, like you said, I would suggest most people hire that person as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. And I think this whole conversation comes down to, I think you said your favorite word, awareness. It's just having awareness about who you are, having awareness about what you need to get off of your plate and not be doing, because it's not your highest and best use. And then having awareness throughout your partnership with anyone that you bring into your organization around what they're doing. Are they hitting their goals? What are the expectations you've given? And are they an investment? Are they actually returning an investment on your business?
Have an investment return. You need to give it some love and energy and time and money.
And like, one more point on that too, is that's the mind frame that I think helps a lot of people understand when they're leveraging and when they're hiring, is looking at it as an investment rather than an expense. A lot of people think, oh, I can't afford that. That's a really big expense to take onto my business right now. It doesn't make sense. But at the end of the day, if you look at it as an investment, sure, you're not going to get a return right away. But if you set the expectations around what you want, you should be able to see that return.
That's a good point. When you think of, when you get to that mindset of it's an investment, that does help take away the self-serving mindset too, because now you're, you know, any investment requires, well, not every investment, but most investments require some sort of, you know, servicing the investment versus the investment just doesn't, in most cases, just doesn't pay you because you put money in it. Unless that's not fully fair to say that, but certainly in a people development point of view, you have to put time and energy into it. You have to serve it, not have it serve you. You have to serve it for it to return. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it as an expense, you're not going to be excited to serve it.
Definitely not.
If it's an investment, you're going to be more compelled to go serve that, put the time and energy into it so that everyone wins and the business has a return on it.
It creates a scarcity mindset too when people do look at it as an expense. Totally.
That whole mindset of you mentioned where you were talking about the ego, but that's a scarcity mindset too, where you're only, I can do this. I'm the only one capable of this and nobody can do it like me. And okay, well, if you want to think like that the rest of your life, then you're never going to develop a business because that is a very scarcity mindset.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think we dug pretty deep today. So I want to thank you for all your wisdom. And next episode, we'll be chatting about leaving your ego at the door, because that's a big, big conversation, I think.
We touched on that today, but yeah, I'm excited to dive deeper on that one. That is a another common one that is not necessarily done very well by a lot of realtors. There's a bit of ego in this business, surprisingly.
I was going to say it's not super intuitive in this business, but it can be learned. It can be really learned.
Yeah, totally can.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully people got some good tidbits out of this one. I mean, I'd encourage them to reach out to you or I on this topic, especially. I think we've worked together around this and screwed up some of these things many times. And I've paid the price a lot and screened these up. So I'd love to help people avoid some of the screw ups and costs of that if we can. So people should reach out to us and let us help.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Team Building Show for Canadians. Hope you enjoy it and find valuable information that helps you to start building your future today. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe, comment, and give a like to the show. Remember, you can listen to it anytime on Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube.